My name is Reed. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm so glad that you guys are with us today. Now, this morning, I want to start by telling you guys about the best funeral I've ever been a part of. And I know that sounds morbid and maybe a bit strange, and you're like, wait, but just stay with me here. I want to talk to you this morning about the best funeral that I've ever been a part of. A couple years ago, you guys, I had the, and I wrestled with what word to use here, but I had the privilege. I had the privilege of leading a funeral for a woman in our church. And like I said, I don't use that word privilege lightly. It was a heartbreaking moment, and the circumstances around her passing were tragic. But you guys, what I experienced that day, as we celebrated her life, what I experienced that day, you guys, it was powerful, and it was honestly for me, it was really, really impactful. You see, because that day, as we gathered to celebrate this woman, one by one, person by person, from her husband to her kids to her grandkids to her friends and her neighbors and her coworkers and the people that volunteered alongside her and people that she bumped into in the grocery store, everybody, they got up and they shared the same things. They talked about her love. They talked about her kindness. They talked about her character. They talked about her passion. They talked about her tenacity. They talked about her grace. They talked about her impact on their lives. Ultimately, they talked about her legacy. And the reason why it stood out so much to me, you guys, in that moment is because as somebody who I do a lot of funerals, and I'm just gonna go ahead and tell you that not all funerals are like that, okay? Not all funerals are like that. You see, a lot of times you can tell when you're there and you're going through the service, you can tell people will get up and they're trying to be honest. They're trying to be respectful. They're trying to be kind. They're trying to be appropriate, honestly, you know? And as they're doing that, what they end up doing is they give a curated, an edited, a somewhat redacted, a polished version of this person's life. But on this day, you guys, this woman's funeral was not that. There was nothing polished. There was nothing edited. There was nothing hidden. There was nothing overlooked. There was nothing unspoken. It was just true. It was beautiful, honest truth. And these people shared again and again and again, and the stories they shared were consistent, and you could tell that nothing was being overlooked or swept under the rug. And I can remember you guys going home that day, and since that day, I've thought about it many times, and I remember thinking when I got home, I hope people talk about me like that one day. Oh gosh, I was like, man, I hope people will talk about me like that one day. I hope that the words that they use to describe that woman are the words that they'll use to describe me. I hope that people will be able to give an honest account of my life and not sweep anything under the rug or to avoid anything. Gosh, I hope people talk about me like that one day. I wonder this morning for you all, I wonder, what do you hope people will say about you one day? What do you hope people will say about you one day? This is a good question to consider. What words do you hope people will use? What stories do you hope that people will share? What What values do you hope are elevated and passed on? Like, what impression do you hope to have made? What impact do you hope to leave behind? What do you hope people say about you one day? And when I say one day, I'm not necessarily just talking about like one day when you're no longer here. I'm not just necessarily talking about your funeral. When I say one day, it could be, maybe it's not the end of your life, but maybe it's just the end of the season of life that you're currently in. What do you hope people will say about you, right? Like when you graduate, what do you hope people will say about you? Like, man, we really miss them, or I'm so glad they're gone. You know what I mean? Like, what do you hope people will say about you when you graduate, when you move, when you're no longer in that neighborhood or that apartment complex, you guys are no longer roommates, whatever it is. When you move, what do you hope people will say about you? When you no longer work at the place that you're working at right now, what do you hope people will say about you? When you finally hang it up and you retire, what do you hope are the words and the stories that are shared about you at the place of your former employment? When your kids are no longer in the house with you and they've moved on to start their lives, what do you hope they say about you? When they're no longer around you, the people that we're talking about, when people are no longer around you or when you're no longer around, what do you hope people say? Here's the reality, you guys. And this is what we're gonna talk about today. Listen, regardless of what you hope people will say, regardless of what you really desire people to say, regardless of what you want people to say about you one day, what they're actually gonna say is being shaped by the decisions you make today. Regardless of what you want them to say, regardless of what you'd hope they would say, what they're actually gonna say is being shaped by the choices and the life that you live today. You see, you guys, how you live today shapes what others will say one day. How you live today shapes what others will say one day. And so how do we live today for the kind of legacy that we hope to leave tomorrow? That is what we're gonna be talking about today. But before we do that, if you're just joining us, welcome. We are in part two of a series that we began last week called Legacy. And we're talking about, how do we live and leave a legacy worth sharing for those that come after us? And like I said, not necessarily just after us when we're dead and gone, but just whenever the season that we're in right now is over, how do we want to leave things? And what do we hope we pass on? What values, what impact do we hope to have made? And we said that the reason why this is an important conversation for all of us to be having, regardless of what age or stage of life you find yourself in or stage of faith you find yourself in, the reason why this is an important conversation for us to have is the reality is everybody leaves a legacy. Everybody leaves a legacy, whether you want to or not, whether you've thought about it or not, whether you planned to or not, whether you even like that or not, you're going to leave a legacy. You're gonna pass something on or, as we said last week, dump something on those that come after you. And so everybody leaves a legacy. And the truth is that we said if everybody leaves a legacy, then the reality for all of us is we'd like to leave a good one. If that's true, then I'd like to leave a good one. And that's what we're talking about in this series. And in order to guide us in our conversation, what we're doing is we're taking a look at the book of 2 Timothy. And I say book, but really we learned last week that it's not a book, it's a letter. And the letter of 2 Timothy is written by a guy named the Apostle Paul, a former Christian persecutor turned Christian church planner and one of the most famous and impactful followers of Jesus that has ever lived. He wrote much of what is called the New Testament in your Bibles. And this letter, 2 Timothy, is what many believe to be the very last letter that Paul maybe ever wrote. It's certainly the last one that we have access to. And so This is a letter that Paul wrote from jail in Rome, and he writes it to a young man, a young leader, a guy that he's poured a lot into, a young man named Timothy. And at the time that Paul writes this letter, what you can tell as you read it is that he knows his time is short. And so because he knows his time is short, he does not mince words. He does not waste words. And the whole thing, it reads like a passing of the baton. And so the letter of 2 Timothy is, it's a letter of legacy. And so we're digging into it to see what we can learn from Paul's teachings to Timothy about how we can live and leave a better legacy maybe than the ones that were handed to us, which is exactly where we began last week. In week one, we talked about the legacy that we've received. Because the truth is, for you guys, you know this, wherever you find yourself today, the truth is that you did not get there on your own, yes? You didn't get there on your own. We all received some things from those that have gone before us, that we've all been passed some things. There were some things that were handed to us. For some of us, there were some amazing things that were handed to us. Love and faith and stability and opportunity. And for others of us, though, we were handed some not so great things. Some hurt, some pain, addiction, absence, abuse. And those were the things that were handed. And what we said is that for most of us, the truth is that we were just kind of handed a bit of both. We got a mix of both. And so what do we do with that? We need to think about that. We need to process that, because the reality is that what was handed to us oftentimes has a way of passing through us, doesn't it? And so the hope, though, that we learned last week is that by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is true, that the legacy you received does not have to be the legacy you leaved. You leaved? Yeah. I promise you guys, I graduated. The legacy you received does not have to be the legacy that you leave, right? Like that by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can make some new choices, and you can choose to pick up some of those amazing things that were handed to you and pass them on intentionally. And at the same time, you can choose to break old habits and bad patterns that were handed to you, so that what was handed to you doesn't pass on through you, but the cycle stops with you. You can make those choices. The legacy you received doesn't have to be the one you leave. And now today, though, we're gonna move forward in the letter, and we're gonna be moving from this idea of the legacy that we received. And today we're gonna be talking about the legacy that we're living. We're gonna talk about the legacy that we're living, because the reality is you are becoming, right here, right now, in real time, you are becoming the person people will talk about tomorrow. You're becoming that person. And the legacy that you leave one day is actually being shaped right here in the present today. And so how do we live in such a way that the things we hope people say are the things that they can honestly say about us one day? How do we live in such a way that we leave a legacy worth sharing one day? How do we live that way? What are the decisions we can make right now that will shape a better legacy tomorrow? And so what we're gonna do this morning, Paul actually writes to Timothy, and he makes that jump in the letter as we move into chapter 2. And so what I'm gonna do with the time remaining for us together this morning is I'm gonna take us through 2 Timothy chapters 2 and 3, and we're gonna fly over it quickly, right? I know that in Wombaland, they said that the Spirit of God leaves at about an hour, and so we're not gonna read through verse by verse, right? Like, but I'm gonna fly over this, because in chapters 2 and 3 of 2 Timothy, what's gonna happen is Paul is going to show Timothy some decisions, some choices he can make today that are legacy shaping for tomorrow, right? some things that he can decide and choose right now that will help him to shape and leave a better legacy tomorrow. And so I wanna show you this morning five things. I'm gonna highlight five choices that the Apostle Paul says to Timothy and to us that we can decide today, some choices that we can make right now that will help us. They are legacy shaping decisions. They are legacy defining decisions that we can make today. And so the very first one that we have, and if you're following along, you can follow along. We'll be beginning in 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can go there. If you don't, no worries. I'll have it up here on the big Bible. And so this is the first choice that you and I can make, legacy defining choice that we can make daily in order to leave a better legacy tomorrow is this right here, to choose grace. Choose grace. This is what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. He says, you then, my son, he says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As Paul is making the transition from the legacy you received to now talking about the legacy that we're gonna live in the here and now, he begins with grace. Now, here's what I recognize is that if you've been around church for any length of time, grace is like one of those words that we use a lot, but while we use it a lot, we rarely define it. It just becomes like a junk drawer word. It's like grace. And people are like, well, what do you mean by that? You know. And so let me define for us what grace is when Paul talks about grace. Grace, in its simplest definition, is a gift that you did not earn. That's what grace is, right? Grace is, at its simplest definition, it's a gift that you received that you did not earn, and at times you didn't even deserve, right? I'll give you an example of grace recently, and it's not a spiritual example. The other day, I looked on my phone, and I got a notification from Venmo that I had just received $20. And I looked at it, and I know the young man that sent it to me. He's a young guy that's been coming around the church. He's been hanging out. He's been asking some great questions. He's been on this faith journey. And all of a sudden, I see his name and the $20. And so I texted him, and I said, hey, man, I think you sent me this, but I think you meant to send it to somebody else. Because he and I had not hung out recently. I hadn't bought him any meals or paid for anything. He did not owe me any money, right? And so a few minutes go by and I receive the text message back and he says, nope, I meant to send that to you. And I was like, and he said, hey man, here's the deal. I just wanted to bless you today and just to encourage you and to tell you, go get lunch on me. And I was like, aw. Like that was super nice, right? Y'all, that's grace, right? That's not a super spiritual example. That's just a gift. And here's the deal. And I didn't earn it. And honestly, that day, I didn't deserve it. I hadn't done anything for that guy. I hadn't like sent him, you know, some amazing prayer. And he said, that was a $20 prayer there, brother. You know what I mean? Like I hadn't done anything like exceptional. Like he just sent me the gift. It's a free gift, right? And so that's an example of grace. Grace comes in different forms. It can be, you know, it can come in the form of provision. It can come in the form of a physical, actual gift. Grace can come in the form of forgiveness that you didn't deserve. Grace can come in the form of patience that you certainly didn't earn. Grace can come in the form of a second chance that, gosh, you were desperate for, but you know you really don't deserve it. Grace can come in a lot of different forms. And Paul writing here in this passage specifically, he has though one gift specifically in mind when he talks about grace. And the gift that he has in mind, he says, it's the grace that is in, if you look at the passage, in Christ Jesus. And the gift that he has in mind, you guys, is the love, the forgiveness, and the acceptance that is available to each and every one of us because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. This is the good news of the gospel, you guys, is that everybody in here, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you've done, that by faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you can be a recipient of grace, you guys, the gift of God's love, forgiveness, and acceptance free of charge. It's a gift. He's provided that to us. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he says, Timothy, as we're moving from the legacy that you received to now the legacy that you're gonna build right now in the here and now, he says a great place to start is right here with grace, is choosing grace. He says, be strong in grace. And when he says, be strong in grace, it's like other translations will read, be strengthened by or be strengthened in. It's this idea that we're choosing each day the perspective of grace to grow in, to stand firm in, to not move on from, but instead to choose each day to live in light of God's grace. This, what Paul's saying is, hey, like grace is not a one-time event. It's a gift that keeps on giving. It's not a one-time event, but it's a daily decision and perspective that you can choose to live by. And he goes, Timothy, that's what I want you to do. Choose grace. To choose grace is to choose each and every day, you guys, by faith, to believe and to choose the perspective that we are loved, accepted, and forgiven by God. That's what it looks like to choose grace. To choose grace and to stand firm in grace, to grow strong in grace, is to wake up each day and to choose, hey, I'm gonna operate today as somebody who is loved, accepted, and forgiven by God. And the reason why, you guys, that is such a powerful and legacy-defining decision is because that decision, that perspective, that truth, if you could choose to pick that up every single day and go, today I'm gonna live as somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, that begins to inform and transform how you see yourself and how you treat others. That perspective right there, to wake up and go, hey, today I'm gonna choose to live as somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, that will inform and transform the way you view yourself, the way you view others, and the way you live in the world. It does. When you wake up each day and you go, hey, today I'm gonna choose to live, I'm gonna choose grace, I'm gonna choose to live as somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, it affects, I'll point out two ways that this is powerful and that it transforms the way that we view ourselves and treat others. One, it affects the way that we handle failure. Here's the reality is, you're gonna bump into failure. Hey, you're gonna fail and you're gonna fall short, whether that be as a parent, as a spouse, as a coworker, as a sibling, as a son or daughter, as a follower of Jesus, you're gonna fail and you're gonna fall short. But when you choose grace, when you wake up each day and you go, you know what, today I'm choosing to live as somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, then when you bump into failure, you don't have to hide from it or cover it or sweep it under the rug or brush it aside. You can confront it, you can face it, you can own it, you can learn from it, you can turn from it, you can grow from it, because if you're living today as somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, then failure is an event. It's not an identity. It's something that happened, but it's not who you are, because who you are today is somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God. And so failure, I can bump into you. Failure, I can own you. Failure, I can apologize for you. Failure, I can confront you. Failure, I can address you, because you don't define me. And so now when I fail and fall short, I don't have to run from God and avoid church for 3 weeks. I can run to God knowing I am loved, accepted, and forgiven by God in spite of what happened last week. And so this is the power of choosing grace. It affects how we confront and deal with our own failures. And then also, you guys, listen, this is so powerful. When you choose grace, when you choose to wake up today and go, I'm choosing the perspective of truth that I am loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, then not only does it affect how you treat yourself and how you view yourself when you fail, but it also affects how you treat others when they fail. When you wake up every day and you choose grace and you go, I am somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, then when others fail and fall short, listen, we do away with the scorekeeping and the finger pointing and the blaming and the shaming. And instead, you guys, when you choose grace, you grow in your capacity to extend what God has extended to you to others. Yes? Like when you choose grace and you go, hey, today I'm waking up as somebody loved, accepted, and forgiven by God, not because I earned it, but because it was a free gift, right? then you grow in your capacity. And it doesn't happen overnight, but you grow in your capacity. You are strengthened in, you stand firm in, you learn to extend that same love, grace, acceptance, forgiveness, patience that God has shown you to others. And what happens, you guys, when you choose grace daily, when you begin to choose grace, today I'm choosing that perspective, tomorrow I'm choosing that perspective. When you choose grace, right, as Paul writes to Timothy, you grow strong in it and you're strengthened by it. And you become somebody who is strong enough to elevate others instead of push them down. And that takes a whole lot more strength, doesn't it? To lift somebody up rather than to push them down. It is a powerful, legacy-defining decision that you can make, and you can start making it today. Today, you could choose grace. Today, you could choose grace. Now, Paul is gonna go on. He's gonna give us some more decisions. He starts, though, with grace, and I love that because he doesn't start with effort. He doesn't say if you wanna leave an amazing legacy, you gotta do all this stuff. He goes, no, choose grace first. Choose grace. And now we're gonna build from there, and we're gonna talk about some other things that we can choose. The next thing that he's gonna say, not only do we choose grace, but he says, hey, here's another legacy-defining decision. Choose to flee. Choose to flee. You're like, flee what? He says this to Timothy. He says, Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth. And he's not gonna give a list, but Paul's gonna say, hey, a legacy-defining decision that you can make is to flee, to run, to turn from, to guard against, to keep in check. He calls them the evil desires of youth. The reality is, you guys, and you know this, right? You've seen it. We all have desires in us. We all have desires in us that we are tempted by. We all have desires in us that if freely indulged in and left unchecked, will derail you, yes? Every single one of us. And I love that Paul doesn't give a list. What he knows, I think, is that Timothy and you guys, we would all be tempted to look at the list, and if our thing doesn't come up on the list, we're like, I'm good. You know what I mean? Like you look at the list and you'll treat it as exhaustive, and so you'll be like, my flavor of desire or whatever didn't show up on the list, and so I'm all right. But he doesn't give you a list. He just says, hey, flee the evil desires of youth, because, and the reason why I think he does that is because we all know, you don't really have to be taught this stuff, you guys. Like, you know, but you need to be confronted about it, and we need to talk about it. But you know that you have some desires in you that if freely indulged upon or left unchecked, those will lead you to destruction and they will derail you. And here's the truth is that as we even say that this morning, I don't have to preach very hard to convince you of this, because many of you in here, you have had a front row seat to somebody that has allowed that to happen. They gave the keys to their decision-making, to their desires, and they let it drive all of their decisions. And what you have witnessed firsthand for many of you, you have watched somebody who was driven by their desires, and what's happened is you've watched it derail their marriage. You've watched it derail their character. You've watched it derail their relationship with their kids. You've watched it derail their relationship with their parents. You've watched it derail their business. You've watched it derail their finances. You've watched it completely derail their physical health. Like you've watched it happen. For some of you in the room, you're watching it happen in the mirror. There are some desires that if left unchecked and that if freely indulged upon, they will derail you. And Paul says a legacy-defining decision that you can make today and every day is that when it comes to those desires, I'm not gonna flirt with them. I'm not gonna try to manage them. I'm not gonna try to justify them. I'm not gonna sweep them under the rug. I'm gonna flee from them. I'm gonna run from them. I'm gonna invite accountability for them. I'm gonna put some guardrails up in my life so that I stay as far away from those things as I can. They're not getting the keys. I've watched them derail too many people. I'm watching them derail me. I'm gonna flee when it comes to those desires. They don't get to sit in the driver's seat. And if it comes to it, they don't get to get in the car. So Paul says a legacy defining decision is, and when it comes to some of those desires, he goes, you need to flee. You need to run from it. You need to put that stuff behind you. You need to resist that. But now, legacy, having a legacy worth sharing, it's not just about the stuff that we run from and avoid, right? He's gonna go on and he's gonna couple that with, he says, flee the evil desires of youth, but another legacy defining decision will be to choose to pursue. It's the rule of erase and replace, that you can't just erase the bad things, you gotta replace them with the good things, you know what I mean? You can't just avoid evil desires of youth, but you actually have to replace those with ultimate desires of good things, the things that matter most. And so Paul's gonna say this, hey, flee the evil desires of youth. And he says, instead, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. And then he says, you do that along with those who call on the Lord. So along with people that share your values and your pursuits, along with people that are running the same, alongside people that are running the same direction as you. And so another legacy defining decision, it's not just the things that we avoid. It's not just the things that we flee from. It's not just the things that we guard ourselves against. But he says it's also another legacy defining decision is to choose to pursue the things that matter most. Pursue the things that matter most. Pursue the things that are gonna build your character. Pursue the things that are gonna bless and benefit those around you. Pursue the things that are going to safeguard your life and your legacy from guilt, shame, and regret. He goes, pursue those things. And he says, and don't do it alone. Pursue it alongside some other people who share those same values and who desire those same destinations. He goes, pursue it alongside those people. And listen, this is something, you guys, this is a principle that applies whether or not you're a follower of Jesus. I'll just tell you this, if you're somebody who's here today, you're just checking it out and you wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, I would say you should still take this to heart and you should identify who it is that you ultimately wanna be, what you hope people will say about you one day. You should still identify the kind of character you hope to have and the kind of impact you hope to lead, and then you should pursue that relentlessly and you should find some people running in that direction and you should go with them. And you guys should run together. But as Christians in the room, listen, as Christians in the room, what we've done is we've chosen to put our faith in the fact that we think God knows best. And so we don't just pursue our picture of what's best, we pursue his. And so Paul says, hey, the things that matter to God are righteousness. That's right living before him and alongside others. He goes, we pursue righteousness. We pursue faith. We're growing and deepening our faith. We're getting in the word. We're learning to pray. We're understanding worship. We're getting in church. We're raising our kids there, right? We pursue righteousness, faith. He says, we pursue love. We're pursuing peace with each other. And he goes, we're gonna pursue that, and we're gonna pursue that alongside other people that value those same things. It's one of the reasons why here at Gwinnett Church, we talk all the time about small groups. It's because we know, and you know this too, that a legacy isn't built in isolation. That we need other people walking alongside us to help us to live these things out and to pursue the right things and to keep us on the right track, to encourage us, to support us, to hold us accountable, to help us when we fall. So Paul says, a legacy defining decision is pursue what matters most, pursue the things that are gonna grow your character, guard your integrity, pursue the things that are gonna safeguard you from guilt, shame, and regret in the future, pursue the things that are gonna benefit and bless those around you. And now he's gonna get really, really practical, and he's gonna get kind of up in our business, especially today. And so some of you are like, you're already in my business. And I was like, okay, that was God. But this is the next thing he's gonna say. Look, hey, a legacy defining decision. He's gonna tell Timothy, choose your battles. Choose your battles, and I'll say ... wisely. This is what he says to Timothy. He says, hey, look, don't have anything to do with foolish or stupid arguments. He says, because you know, they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but instead must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. You guys, we live in the day and age of outrage. We live in the day and age of offense. We live in the day and age of comments and posts and all kinds of arguments and division and divide. And honestly, it's noise. And we live in an age, you guys, where we have forgotten, God help us, we have forgotten how to disagree and love. We've forgotten just how to agree to disagree. And they're just like, let's just not talk about that anymore. We've forgotten how to come curiously to try to understand where somebody else is coming from. We've forgotten how to do these things. And so everything is just outrage. Everything is just an argument. Everything is just a battle to fight and a hill to die on. And it's, I think it's tearing us apart. And if I can be so bold, I think there are some of us in the room and the legacy that you are setting yourself up for right now is that you're gonna win every argument, but you're gonna lose every relationship. And that's not a legacy you want. That's not a legacy that I want. Paul says, listen, everything's not a hill to die on. There are things you can agree to disagree about. There are things you can disagree about and love. There are things you can disagree about and still come to church and worship alongside each other. There are things, not everything needs your post. Not everything needs your comment. You don't have to get involved in every single debate and argument that exists. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. He says, don't get involved in those things. Now listen, that's not to say that there aren't things that are worth fighting for. There are battles worth fighting. Battles for faith, for truth, for love, for justice, for mercy. There are things worth fighting for. But listen, what we lack, what many of us lack, but what we desperately need is the wisdom to discern what's a battle worth fighting. Paul says a legacy-defining decision for you will be to choose your battles wisely. Choose the right fights. And know when to just leave your voice out. I don't have to fight everything. Everything's not a battle worth fighting or a hill to die on. That could be a legacy defining decision for some of you. Some of you will save a relationship with your kids. Some of you will save a relationship in the workplace. Some of you will save a relationship at Thanksgiving coming up. Bless God. Some of you are gonna save Thanksgiving by choosing the right fights. Last one, number five. This is what he says. A legacy defining decision, the last one where he's gonna land. He's gonna say this, choose not to quit. Choose not to quit. When things get hard, and they'll get hard, Paul's gonna say a legacy-defining decision for many of us is just gonna be the decision to keep going and not to quit. This is what he says. He says, you know, however, about my teaching, my way of life, you know how I live, Timothy, you knew about my purpose and my faith, my patience, my love, and then my endurance. He says, the persecutions, the sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and the persecutions that I endured. He says, and yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. He says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He says, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, he says, deceiving and being deceived. And then he says, but as for you, continue. Continue in what you've learned because you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul says, a legacy-defining decision for many of us is gonna be following his example to endure, to not give up, to not quit when things get hard. And that could be, you guys, that could be a word for somebody in here today. Maybe it's in regards to your faith. Things have gotten difficult. God has felt silent. You're going through something. You've been throwing up the prayers and you don't understand why he's not answering. He feels a million miles away. And the encouragement to you from Paul would be, don't quit. Hold on. He sees you. He hears you. He's not forgotten you. He is present. For some of you today, it's a word for you and your marriage, and it's just hanging on by a thread. And the Apostle Paul would say, don't quit. Don't quit. For some of you, it's a kid, and you've been praying for him, hoping to God they would wake up and start making the right choices and come back home. Apostle Paul would say, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't write them off. Don't quit. Your legacy, you guys, is not shaped in your easiest moments. It's shaped in the hardest ones. And I know that there are some of you in here today and you're going through it and it's difficult and you feel like you're carrying a weight. And the encouragement for you today is don't quit. Don't quit. Your endurance, your faithfulness, your willingness to hold on will be something that shapes you and shapes the legacy that you leave. So, question. What legacy are you living right now? What's the legacy you're living right now? What are the choices that you're making today that are shaping the legacy that you'll leave tomorrow? The person you're becoming right now, you guys, is who people are gonna talk about tomorrow. And the decisions you're making and the choices you're making in the present, they're shaping the legacy you're gonna leave in the future. What people are gonna say about you one day is being shaped right here today. And some of you will say, you know what, I haven't been living a legacy that maybe is worth sharing. The good news of the gospel, you guys, is that the last chapter doesn't have to define the next chapter. And you can start making those decisions today. You can begin making legacy-defining decisions today that can impact and transform the legacy you leave tomorrow. It's not too late to begin again. Yes? So, what legacy are you living right now? And I have just a thought. I called this the Living for Legacy Challenge for you this week. Some things to think about. Some things that could shape the story people tell and the words people use one day. My challenge for you this week is identify one thing that you need to flee from. For some people, you've been flirting with something you should be fleeing from. Identify that thing. Begin to flee. Identify one thing you need to pursue. What's one thing that's ultimate that you hope will be true about you one day? Identify that one thing to pursue and then find one person to help you, to run alongside you. Could be somebody here at the church, could be a friend, could be a spouse, could be a coworker, I don't know. But find one person who's running that same direction and begin to run with them. The legacy we leave one day is shaped by the decisions we make today. Let's choose wisely. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you that you care enough about who we're becoming, that you've preserved these words and these instructions, this letter of legacy to help guide us and to shape us and to course correct us where we've gotten off track. Thank you for the words of Paul to Timothy that have now been passed to us. What an amazing legacy. And God, I just pray that you would help us to examine ourselves and our own lives and the way that we're living right now. And I pray that we'd be honest enough to ask the question, is how I'm living today the kind of legacy I hope to leave one day? And if it's not, would you give us the courage to act on it? Would you give us the courage today to choose grace? Would you give us the courage today to choose to flee the things that have the potential to derail us? Would you give us the courage today to pursue what's ultimate over what's immediate and what's best and what matters most? Would you give us the courage today to pick the right battles? Give us that wisdom and courage to pick the right battles. And then God, would you give us the courage and the conviction and the patience and the perseverance not to quit when things get hard? If we can make those decisions, we know you're gonna work in us and you're gonna work through us and we're gonna live a legacy that's worth handing off to others. And we're gonna be proud of the things that others will say one day. So Father, would you help us? We love you, we trust you, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.